For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr. and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr. and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Ben Beacon. He is the host of the Locked on Wolves podcast, which is dedicated to covering the Minnesota Timberwolves, and he's also the co-owner and writer of Dunking with Wolves. On the program, we discussed the tense situation in Minneapolis involving George Floyd and Dante Wright, also the current happenings with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and so much more. Ben is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr. and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr. and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr., and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr., and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr., and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr., and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Microsoft Teams is helping a bicycle company reinvent the way they work.
We make low-maintenance bicycles for everyday riders. Once the pandemic hit, we had nobody coming into the showroom, so we started doing virtual visits via Microsoft Teams.
We're able to see two or threefold the amount of customers we used to be able to see. All of a sudden, we could open up our showroom to customers around the world. I really think it's going to set a standard for retail moving forward.
Where there's a team, there's a way. Learn more at Microsoft.com/teams.
That's the sound of one of my favorite customers ever. His name's Jeremy. His dad, Frank, called me when it was time to replace their drafty old windows and to take advantage of our limited time sale. As a dedicated Pella advisor, I make getting new windows and doors simple. And when it comes to installation, nobody does it like Pella. Our local team can typically install in just a day.
Elevate the look of your home with specials from Pella Windows and Doors of Baton Rouge. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr., and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
By the Clippers, Jim Los Angeles, they've been fantastic at filling it up from downtown on the season, and we're going to get a chance for an and one here. Karl Anthony Towns back out of the floor and back into the scoring column. Jim, when the Clippers make 16 or more threes in a game, they're 20-3 on the season. As you get another look at Cat, his third bucket from the field tonight, first trip to the free throw line. One of those three LA losses with 16 makes from downtown came in that game against Philly the other night.
Patrick Patterson's been shooting the ball a little bit better for this team as well.
Patterson had 5 made threes in the comeback that fell short against the Sixers.
Clippers have all the makeup to be an excellent playoff team. They shoot the ball well. They're a top 10 defense. Their defensive rating.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of Valley Sports Minnesota, and that was the clip that you heard was Karl Anthony Towns from the Minnesota Timberwolves doing an impressive dunk over Ivaka Zubac in the game that happened this past week against the Los Angeles Clippers. And to talk more about the Minnesota Timberwolves and go into detail of what's currently going on in Minneapolis, let's welcome a gentleman who is the host of the Locked On Wolves podcast. That's the podcast that's dedicated to all things related to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and also the also co-editor and writer of Dunking with Wolves, and also a contributor to Twinkie Town. Let's welcome him to the program, Ben Beacon. Hello, Ben. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going, Ed?
Doing pretty good. Before we begin, did I pronounce your last name correctly? Hello, Ben. Can you hear me?
Yep. Can you hear me, Ed?
Yes, I can hear you now. What I was asking was, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes, you got it.
Beacon. All right, Sally. Well, Ben, welcome to the program. So, Ben, before we get delve more into detail about the Minnesota Timberwolves, let's start off with the current tension that's happening in the city of Minneapolis. Man, it's been a year and a half with the George Floyd situation and currently what's going on with Dante Wright. What is the tension like right now in Minneapolis just in terms of what's happened with both of those situations?
Sure, yeah. So I'm from the Twin Cities initially, and obviously have tons of family and friends there. I actually am not based there currently. I don't live in Minneapolis, but I can tell you from talking to people back home that obviously it's just been an incredible, as you laid it out, you know, the last, 10 months or 11 months or so have been just crazy in the Twin Cities. And, you know, multiple tragedies, as you mentioned, and just kind of the unrest that's followed and, you know, the peaceful protests and then the other things that have happened in terms of, you know, the criminal activity that is, you know, all the things that have come with that. And it's just been a tumultuous time. And I think, you know, it certainly there's some relation to the Timberwolves, in that the organization has gotten involved, and this has all happened in Minneapolis and in Brooklyn Center, which is just 10 miles away from Minneapolis, really. I mean, I think it's been eye-opening for a lot of folks that maybe haven't understood the level of seriousness or level of, you know, to really understand some of the unrest and the police brutality and the racial injustices and things that have been ongoing for some time. And I think in some ways it served to kind of open people's eyes to that. And you know, obviously a tragedy, that part of it is good, that there's at least now more attention being put on it. And I think the Wolves organization and the other organizations in the Twin Cities, pro sports organizations, have done a good job of trying to contribute to the cause, you know, locally and speak out and get the players involved and help the players be involved. And I think all of those things have been positive outcomes from, you know, what's obviously a terrible overall situation.
Yeah, you're right about that. We're going to get delve more into the T-Wolves and the rest of the Minnesota sports franchises dealing with those issues in just a moment. I want to stay just kind of like what we're dealing with in the midst of George Floyd and also Dante Wright. What were race relations like in Minneapolis prior to this, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's obviously such a loaded question. I don't know that Minneapolis itself, and, you know, I obviously have a limited perspective on this. It, you know, I can tell you what I've experienced and the people that I know and the people that I've talked to. I don't know that Minneapolis as a metropolitan area is much different than many other major metropolitan areas in terms of, you know, it is a relatively diverse city, the city itself. You know, and I think for the most part that, you know, the police department is one thing, and that's another conversation. But I think as a whole, you know, I don't know that it's any different. And the word coincidence sounds bad, but the fact that there's been two of these situations in the same metropolitan area in 10 months, these tragedies, you know, people dying at the hands of police, are, you know, it's happening all around the country, right? And so it's not unique to Minneapolis, unfortunately, and tragically. But I think that because of the how quickly these things have gotten picked up, and rightfully so, on a national level, the spotlight really has been on Minneapolis in a really negative way. And now, obviously, the most recent, the Dante Wright tragedy, happening during the trial for the officer who killed George Floyd last year. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's anything unique about Minneapolis necessarily that has caused these instances to these tragedies to happen more frequently than anywhere else. But I do know that there's a lot of people in Minneapolis who are working towards, you know, want to be part of the solution and not the problem. And there's a lot of people that want to have a progressive take on the entire issue of social injustices and police brutality and having a hand in helping to fix the problem, helping to find a solution.
Rightfully so. We've seen that take place within the year and a half. We've seen it on various media outlets as well as different, whether it be print or television or even through the power of the internet when it's done right. Now, you've mentioned about not only the Timberwolves taking an initiative during the George Floyd and as recent with the Dante Wright situation, we've seen the Timberwolves, the Minnesota Wild of the NHL, also the Minnesota Twins of Major League Baseball, the Timberwolves, the Wild, and the Twins all postponed games in the midst of the Dante Wright situation. And we've seen the Minnesota Vikings release a statement in regards to the Dante Wright situation and even when the George Floyd situation had taken place. Can you kind of go more into detail on what not only what the Timberwolves have done, but what the professional sports franchises in Minneapolis have done to, I guess, to try their best to try to make the situation, I guess, what you would say, a little bit easier to try to improve the race relations and just things that are currently going on in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I can't speak as much to the Twins and the Wild and the Vikings. I know that the Twins and I think also the Wild recently have had various, you know, like auctions and things like that have benefited local organizations that are working to improve race relations and, you know, and organizations that are looking to improve relationships with the police in the community and awareness for social injustices and racial injustices and inequities. I think that's one of the primary things. I know Major League Baseball as a whole has done some things as well. In terms of the Timberwolves, I know that last summer they got really involved shortly after the George Floyd death. And that was on a player level. I mean, immediately afterwards, Karl Anthony Towns and Josh Okogie were both at a Black Lives Matter rally that was held at Capitol in St. Paul. And they were very involved on an individual level as a team. They went out in the community and did various appearances where they were, you know, working to, I believe they were involved in some of the cleanup after some of the issues that took place in the wake of the George Floyd death. And you know, those types of things. And then as working through the off season, they had a couple of different initiatives where they partnered with local and national organizations that are working to try and improve, you know, relations between minority communities and police, and also, you know, try to find a way to have a positive voice, right? I mean, and we've seen this across the NBA that people look at, you know, NBA players, athletes as a whole, and celebrities really as not only role models, but they listen to what they say and they pay attention to their presence on social media and on television. And we've seen athletes and NBA players in particular really want to stand out and speak up. And that's been huge. And as you mentioned, the postponed games last week were huge. Going back to the bubble last year after some of the additional issues that happened after George Floyd, the killing in Kenosha, you know, teams in the bubble that didn't play. And I think the Timberwolves are just part of that bigger initiative at the NBA. But I also know as an organization, they're trying to get involved as much as they can locally. And that's players as well as front office, coaching staff, you know, the business side, everybody. And I think they've done a good job of trying to, you know, do their part as much as they can in a really, you know, fan-facing and public-facing arena that they're in, quite literally. I think they've done a pretty good job overall of that.
Thank you so much for answering those questions about the current tension that's going on in the city of Minneapolis. So thank you for your expertise on that topic. All right, let's get to the matters at hand, which is basketball in the National Basketball Association. And you cover the Minnesota Timberwolves. So the Timberwolves have had a very tough year, very tough 2020-2021 NBA season. They had a recent loss to the Los Angeles Clippers. And before that, they've currently have lost four in a row, losing to the Clippers, losing to Miami, and then losing to Milwaukee and Brooklyn. However, they haven't won a game since April the 11th when they beat the Chicago Bulls, which the final score was 121-117. I know it's been a tough year, Ben, but just kind of give me your thoughts on just where the T-Wolves are currently at right now and possible preparations to just finish strong and to try to get a good draft pick in the upcoming NBA draft.
Yeah, one small correction. They beat Miami last Friday, but they've really been kind of – it's been a pattern of basically winning one game and losing two has kind of been what they've been doing since they hired their new head coach, Chris Finch. Just prior to the All-Star break. Yeah, so just prior to the All-Star break, they hired Chris Finch, and more recently they've been in this pattern of winning one, losing two. I don't believe they've won two consecutive games since they started the season 2-0. So it's been a season of, you know, a miniature step forward and then two big steps back is probably the best way to say it. And a big reason for that has been injuries, and that's been well documented. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns had a wrist dislocation. Then he came back, played two games, and was out with a positive COVID-19 test. D'Angelo Russell had knee surgery and missed 7 weeks or so. Most recently, Malik Beasley served a 12-game suspension, and then a couple games after his return, I think four games into his return, he ended up with a hamstring injury that's sidelining him for at least 4 weeks. And so he may not return the rest of this year. So to this point, D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns have played in 10 games together this season, and the Wolves are 5-5 in those games. And when you add in Malik Beasley, I think they've only played in three or four games as a trio. So we haven't seen this team anywhere near as intended. And I think it's fair to say that if Russell and Towns are healthy, this team is certainly competitive. I think the Clippers game the other night was the only game they've really been blown out in when both those guys have been on the floor. Every other game, even among those five losses, the other four losses, two of them were overtime losses. One was a game they were up by 18 headed into the fourth quarter. So they're more than competitive. They're at least a 500 team when those guys are healthy. And that at least gives some hope for next season because players are going to be back. They're both on max contracts. And then the Wolves just need to work on building up around them, developing their young players, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, both first-round picks this year. And then the other wrinkle to the whole thing is that the Timberwolves aren't guaranteed to keep their pick this year. It was traded as part of the Andrew Wiggins, D'Angelo Russell swap last year with Golden State, and it's top three protected, meaning if the Timberwolves don't finish or if in the lottery they don't get a top three pick, it goes to Golden State. And so if it lands fourth or fifth in a draft class that has, you know, at least five or six phenomenal potential future all-star type players and is really deep as a whole, if the Wolves don't get lucky enough to land in the top three, they lose that pick. So there isn't a ton of incentive to actually tank over the final month of the season either. And that just adds, as I said, it just adds a wrinkle to the whole thing. And you know, how do the Wolves really approach that? And how should fans feel about tanking versus winning? And you know, it makes the whole thing kind of tricky.
Indeed, it does make the whole thing kind of tricky. I want to stay with a rookie that you mentioned, Anthony Edwards, the number one overall pick in the 2020 NBA draft. We've seen a lot of flashes of Anthony, very athletic. He plays above the rim. He represents the possible future of not just the NBA, but of the franchise of the Timberwolves. How would you grade his rookie season this year?
How would I grade it? I mean, I think he's been about as expected. And you know, if you're grading on a curve and we're looking at the rest of the rookie class, I mean, LaMelo Ball was obviously better when he played, but because of the injury, there's a pretty good chance Anthony Edwards wins Rookie of the Year this year. But you could argue that in a vacuum and based on where they were drafted and their role, that players like Tyrese Haliburton and Emmanuel Quickley and some of those guys arguably have had better seasons than Anthony Edwards. The difference is that Edwards has had a higher volume scoring year because he has plenty of opportunities. He has had plenty of opportunities with Towns out and Russell out for so much of the season. And he plays on a bad team, and so there's lots of shots available. And then also he's got the flashy highlights. I mean, you mentioned the flashes people have seen, the poster dunks. He's had a couple of those that have kind of exploded Twitter when it happens. And those things matter, and they stick in people's mind. And he obviously has a ton of talent. Again, in a vacuum, I don't know that he's really been that good, but given the context and as a rookie and the amount of scoring he's done, the potential is immense, and he obviously has the ability to become an all-star caliber player pretty quickly. I mean, we've seen this, you know, it's become kind of routine after games. Reporters will ask opposing stars, like Paul George was asked after they beat the Timberwolves earlier this week, whatever night that was. He was asked about Anthony Edwards, and he said, oh yeah, I think he used the word elite. He used the word star to describe the future of Anthony Edwards. And I think that that's fair. I think he's got that talent. His main issues have just been shot selection and consistency with that. You know, he takes too many threes at times. He's only shooting about 31-32% from outside the arc, but he's shooting, you know, like the second or third most threes per game on the Timberwolves. And then also just he needs to continuously attack the basket, and he struggled defensively as well, but the talent is there, and he could easily, there could be a switch that flips over the next year or two, and he could become an all-star pretty quickly.
Yeah, all of the writings are on the wall for him, and he definitely could make it happen. So Anthony is doing his part with the Timberwolves. I gotta ask you something lighthearted, Ben. What was your response when Anthony was asked about Alex Rodriguez and he didn't know who A-Rod was?
Yeah, I think that was I don't know, that didn't really surprise me because, I mean, remember, he's 19 and he's said he was a football fan first and then a basketball fan, and he's never really talked much about baseball, and it hasn't really been a thing that, it just doesn't really shock me because also, I mean, think about it this way. A-Rod's been retired for what, about 5 years now, and so Edwards would have been 14, I think, when Anthony Edwards retired. And it was still funny, though, that he admitted that and that he hadn't, or at least, you know, maybe seen, if he'd seen the report on Saturday, a few days prior to when he was asked the question, and maybe just Googled Alex Rodriguez to quick see who he is and just make sure he knows. But the fact that he's just kind of carefree, happy-go-lucky, like he didn't even, you know, it didn't really affect him. And so he didn't bother to check it out and completely innocent about it, too. It wasn't malicious. It was just kind of, nope, not sure who he is. And so I think that was kind of, for anybody who's listened to Anthony Edwards, you know, pressers or his media availability throughout the season, it's really not all that surprising. That's just kind of who he is. He just puts it out there, and he's 19. So, I mean, it's going to be really fun to see him continue to grow, and hopefully he doesn't lose that candidness with the media over the next few years.
Yeah, definitely so. I mean, he's definitely a star on the rise, and definitely look forward to watching him for many years to come. Let's stay now with the current Timberwolves roster. D'Angelo Russell, you mentioned the injuries have really hurt him throughout much of this year. What's the status with D'Angelo, and what's the status with D'Angelo currently, and what are the Wolves plan to do with him going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's on a max contract. He's got 2 years left on the deal. Towns has 3 years left on his. And so I doubt he goes anywhere. I think he's going to be – I mean, Gerson Rosas, the Timberwolves president of basketball ops, acquired him a little over a year ago with the intention of pairing him with Towns. And we've seen their offensive rating together when they're on the court is astronomical. And they're really, really good on offense when they play together. And again, we've seen 10 games this year. We saw 2 games last year when they played together because of injuries and then obviously the shortened season. So we don't really know what exactly they're going to be together, but Timberwolves are right around the 500 mark when they do play. And again, their offensive rating and their net rating is still positive, even though they're not great defensively when they play together. And so I think the Timberwolves want to see what they have, and they want to see if Towns and Russell together can lead this team to a playoff spot in the next, you know, next season. Hopefully the hope was that it would be this year, that they'd at least crack the play-in game conversation, but because of injuries, they haven't. So they're going to get another go at this. And if it doesn't work next year or there's more issues, I mean, D'Lo probably with one expiring year on a max contract after next year would be tradable. And I think he would be traded before Towns. There's plenty of question marks about his trade value because he's a couple years removed from being an MVP now, has had some injuries and didn't have a great run in Golden State last season. But everything that D'Lo has done in Minnesota is what I think we expected. He's a fantastic offensive player. The pick and roll fit with Karl-Anthony Towns is unstoppable. And he's somebody who can create his own shot in clutch time, which is something the Wolves haven't really had in really ever, but certainly in recent memory outside of that Jimmy Butler season a few years ago. But Russell's lack of defense is a little bit of a concern, but this pairing is going to get every opportunity to succeed next season. And so I think that's what we'll see. We'll see Towns and Russell as the Wolves, top two options on offense next season. And hopefully they can lead the Timberwolves to an above 500 record and be in the playoff conversation.
All right, and speaking of the gentleman that you mentioned, Karl-Anthony Towns, what a player he's been since he's joined the Timberwolves franchise. 2020 as he said, the worst year of his life, dealing with the tragic death of his mother due to COVID, also losing many family members due to COVID. His father was sick as a result of COVID. His father has bounced back, has recovered slowly from that as well. You've covered the Timberwolves for a long time. How has Karl-Anthony come into the season with all of the tragedy that has happened to him and also the social unrest that has happened in Minneapolis? What has been his whole mind state coming into this season?
Yeah, I think as expected. I mean Towns and this is completely understandable. Obviously, he came into the season just kind of, everybody saw the comments preseason about how, so much of him died when his mom died and he's not the same person anymore. And it's really sad. It's just a tough thing to hear, but it's completely understandable how he can feel that way. Anybody who loses a parent, I can only imagine is struggling with those same emotions, and especially somebody who's especially close to their mom. And he's still, for whatever that's worth, he's only been in the league for like 6 years and he's not that far removed from, living at home and being at home all the time with his family. And his family was at the vast majority of Timberwolves games and was in Minnesota a lot during the season and at his road games on the East Coast. And so Towns' mindset coming into the season was it wasn't going to be the same. And then you layer on top of that, obviously the rest of his family struggles with COVID-19 and the report that he apparently was in a car accident on the West Coast in the off season with a drunk driver and he was in the hospital briefly. And then he gets COVID-19 in the season right after he comes back from a dislocated wrist. And it's just been an unbelievable last 12 plus months now for Towns and not in a good way. You feel for him. And I think his frame of mind is probably about where you'd expect. And I think lately we're seeing him start to look a little bit more like the Carl that everybody has gotten used to, a little bit more happy-go-lucky and smiling and winning some games here and there and playing with D'Lo, I'm sure has helped. His dad came to the game I think it was in Brooklyn a couple of weeks ago, which was good. I think everything around Towns has been really unfortunate for the past year. And it's good to see him start to become, be more like himself. As he said, he's never going to be the same person he was before. And that's, we have to take him at his word for that. And he's hopefully continuing to grow and move as much as one can move past the past year, with everything he's dealt with. But he's starting to seem a little more like himself, and certainly his play has picked up as well. And I think all those things kind of go hand in hand. So, it's great to see him start to be a little bit more like the Karl-Anthony Towns that we've gotten used to.
Yeah, it's good to see he's starting to kind of pick it up a little bit. Again, our thoughts and prayers are with him and his family. Just what a tough 2020 and just a tough process that he's still going through. I want to stay with Carl for a moment. You mentioned about the possibility he's got 2 more years currently left on his contract. I know with all that he has gone through in the past year, do you think basketball is still a passion of his? Do you think basketball is still in his heart? And if so, do you see him playing long-term with the Timberwolves?
Yeah, I mean, that's not really a question that I think I could answer. I think that's something that Carl would have to answer. But I think all indications point to this, you know, I mean, I don't think there's any reason to think that it wouldn't be in terms of basketball itself. I think that anything that's happened in the last year, you've got to, and not you, but just as a whole, we have to collectively give him, you know, the benefit of the doubt, and not just that, but the space to kind of process everything. And I think the fact that he came back so fast from the wrist injury, and he was back the second he could be from COVID. And, you know, in a lot of cases, we see people struggle with conditioning when they come back, and he kind of pushed through it and, you know, has done everything he could to be there for a team that frankly hasn't been very good. And it would be understandable if he wanted to shut it down the rest of the season. And he's shown no indication of wanting to do that, and has clearly, you know, put his best foot forward wherever possible this year. So I think that's all really positive. And everything he said about being in Minnesota, he said it before Ryan Saunders, the former head coach, was fired. And he said it after Chris Finch was hired, that he wants to, you know, winning to Minnesota. He wants to be part of that. And he saw a taste of it in Minneapolis when Jimmy Butler was there for a year and saw that, you know, the Target Center can be sold out. It can be fun. People can be really bought into this team if they give fans a glimmer of hope. And for everything Towns has said publicly, there's no reason to think that he's itching to get out of Minnesota. And obviously that can change over the next 3 years. And you know, there's we've seen that happen before. But we've also seen stars stay put recently, whether that was, you know, Giannis in Milwaukee most recently. You know, there's plenty of things that can change in the next few months, or, you know, years for that matter. But at this point, the Timberwolves are going to move forward trying to build around Karl-Anthony Towns, and they haven't had success doing that yet. But again, it's been a confluence of unfortunate events that have really kind of added to the struggles. So we'll see what happens. But there's no reason to think at this moment that anything's going to change in regards to Towns playing basketball for the Timberwolves.
You know, let's stay with Carl again for a moment. The Minnesota Timberwolves have had their share of star players throughout the franchise. We've seen Isaiah Ryder, Stephon Marbury, Wally Szczerbiak, and, of course, Kevin Garnett. Those are really Kevin Garnett was really the epitome of that franchise. Where do you see Karl-Anthony Towns possibly measuring up to those stars in that franchise if, in fact, as you said, Ben, he stays in Minnesota for the long term?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we look at just strictly basketball, you know, talent and on-court impact, Towns is already in the top three in franchise history. I mean, Kevin Garnett is far and away the best player this franchise has ever had. It's not close. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's a top 25 player of all time, certainly. So, I mean, outside of him, you're looking at Towns. You're looking at, you know, Kevin Love, depending on how you want to value Jimmy Butler's one season in Minnesota, but it was one season in a few weeks. He's already one of the best two or three players to ever put on a Timberwolves uniform. The problem is he's only made the playoffs once. And even when the Wolves weren't advancing in the playoffs with Garnett, they made the playoffs 8 consecutive seasons. And losing in the first round is a lot better than not making the playoffs. And, you know, Garnett won an MVP, obviously. He was all on the all-defensive team almost every year. And Towns hasn't done those things. So it's unfair to put him in the same conversation as Garnett because Garnett was just an otherworldly player and an otherworldly defender. But what Towns would need to do is kind of elevate the game of everyone else around him. And the Timberwolves need to provide him with some, you know, starting caliber players around him. And I think they're starting to do that, you know, with Beasley and Russell and hopefully Anthony Edwards. And then we can really see, you know, what his true value is. And he often gets docked in the league-wide conversations about, you know, Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic and other bigs because the Timberwolves haven't had the same success. But the Sixers and the Nuggets have had superior coaching and they've had superior supporting casts. And some of those things clearly play into the success of the superstar. And so Towns needs to work hard to continue to kind of combat that narrative that he's not as much of a winning player as guys like Embiid and Jokic and others. But then the Timberwolves have to do their part to surround him with talent. And I think if that happens and the Wolves say they make the playoffs next year and say in 2 years they advance in the playoffs and he's still obviously the best player on the team, you know, then the conversation can be had. Like, I mean, at that point, he's clearly the second best player to ever wear a Timberwolves uniform. At this point, though, it would take a huge kind of, you know, resurgence maybe isn't the right word, but a huge movement in order to make him, or to have him in the same conversation as Garnett, because we're talking about one of the best 25 players of all time. But still, I think Towns is obviously one of the top 25 talents in this current NBA. The question is, can he put it all together with the rest of the Timberwolves roster, and can they win some games so that he gets the proper recognition?
All right, and speaking of proper recognition, you know, Ben, the NBA, the 2021 NBA draft is right around the corner, and we have a lot of players that are going to be entering this great draft class. We've got Cade Cunningham, also Ayo Dosunmu. Also, we have Jalen Suggs. Jalen Suggs is the latest underclassman to declare for the NBA draft, and it's interesting because Jalen is a Minnesota product. Kind of give me your thoughts on where do you think the Timberwolves should go? Do you think the Timberwolves should go with the hometown hero in Jalen, or do you think maybe they should try to make a run for Cade Cunningham?
Yeah, I mean, if the Timberwolves, again, if they have to land in the top three to keep the pick. If they do land in the top three, I think it's one of the players you mentioned. Evan Mobley is another one that would be in the conversation. But at this moment, and I still need to do, admittedly, a ton of additional draft research before I get to my actual big board and all that stuff. But at the moment, sitting here, I think Cade Cunningham's the best fit for the Timberwolves roster. Suggs, you know, say the Wolves go pick second or third and Cunningham's off the board, then Suggs is an intriguing pick. I think he could play with D'Angelo Russell, but now you're looking at a bunch of guys that are, you know, you add him in with Russell and Anthony Edwards, guys that are of similar size, you know, slightly varying skill sets, obviously, but, and then, I mean, they've still got Ricky Rubio, not that that's a significant, you know, he's only got 1 year left on his deal, but all those guys are kind of that 6'4", 6'3", to 6'4", range, and you're not giving yourself a ton of length and you know, switchability defensively. But still, the upside with Suggs, and obviously, like you mentioned, the local angle is intriguing. I think if the Wolves end up in the top three and Cunningham's off the board, he's somebody they'd look at. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. This is a really deep draft, and of course it happens to be the one where the Wolves don't have a guarantee that they're going to have that pick. They don't even have a second-round pick in this draft either. And for as deep as it is, I'm sure that they're going to be looking to try and acquire a pick, whether that be trading, whether it's Rubio or another expiring contract, a contract that would expire after next year, Juancho Hernan Gomez, something like that, where they could maybe acquire a second rounder or something to just get back into this draft because of the depth. So that'll be an interesting storyline to keep an eye on.
All right, and speaking of an interesting storyline, Glenn Taylor is currently the owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves, but as the gentleman I mentioned earlier, Alex Rodriguez, along with businessman Mark Lohr, are in the process of negotiating a deal to buy the Minnesota Timberwolves. Ben, what does this mean for the Major League Baseball Hall of Famer A-Rod and his business partner to purchase the Timberwolves? What would this mean for not just the franchise, but just for the Twin Cities and just the state of Minnesota as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly the name recognition, the international name recognition really with A-Rod is great. You know, my first reaction was that it was, hey, this is great. Like, it'll not that the Twin Cities need to be quote unquote put on the map, but it's certainly nice to have some chatter, some positive chatter about a recognizable name that wants to be involved in a group in the Twin Cities. And then my second thought was I had some slight concern about, hey, could they try and move the team? He's obviously, A-Rod played 7 seasons in Seattle, and Seattle needs an NBA team. And then, you know, all the stories came out about Glenn Taylor trying whatever he can do within his legal right to keep the team in the Twin Cities once he's out of the picture from the ownership group. You know, I think there's also some other things the NBA would much rather expand than relocate. That's very much on the record with Adam Silver. And so I think that concern for me is a little bit less. And so I think focusing on the positives, you know, Mark Lohr is an aggressive, progressive, as well person. He's somebody who is the e-commerce CEO for for Walmart recently, and has plenty of startups that he's sold to larger companies, and has been kind of on the forefront of a lot of different, you know, tech related fields. And so he's kind of forward thinking and lines up with what Gerson Rosas, the current president of Basketball Ops, is doing and being progressive and forward thinking. And that's exciting. And then A-Rod is obviously an international icon. He's somebody who, even if Anthony Edwards doesn't necessarily know who he is, a lot of people, you know, in the demographic that buy tickets that are going to be involved from a ticket buying perspective, whether that, you know, people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s have all heard of A-Rod. Even if you're not a big baseball fan, people have heard of him. They know who he is. They know that he dated J-Lo for a long time, right? Jennifer Lopez. They know that he played for the Yankees and was an MVP and signed one of the biggest contracts at the time, the biggest contract in sports history. I mean, there's a lot of things about A-Rod. He's currently an announcer on ESPN for baseball. He's been on Fox as a baseball announcer during the playoffs. And there's a lot of reasons to know Alex Rodriguez. And I think having that name recognition in the Twin Cities is great. And also their commitment, Lore and Rodriguez's commitment to staying in the Twin Cities, which is a top 15 media market. And a lot of people don't realize that. Outside of the weather, there's no reason why you wouldn't want to have an NBA team in the Twin Cities. And A-Rod just kind of lends some additional credibility to that. Like, hey, you know, I'm not saying players are going to sign in Minnesota because of Alex Rodriguez, but it could be a tiebreaker type scenario, right? Like there's players who you know, have a relationship with him already, or at least know the name, or A-Rod can relate to because he only retired 5 years ago. He was a pro athlete 5 years ago. So there's a relatability aspect to it that I think could be positive. Maybe not as much in free agency, but maybe as a tiebreaker in free agency, or to help, like, you know, kind of assuage any concerns that somebody might have if the Timberwolves are going to acquire a player in a trade, and A-Rod could be like, hey man, this is a great organization. Here's the deal. Like, you know, I'm involved. I know what players want and what they need, et cetera. And just to kind of be that person you can relate. And I think that could be a really positive thing moving forward.
Indeed, it would be a positive thing. And I mean, there's a lot of positive stuff, you know, coming out of the Twin Cities. As you mentioned, it's a top media market and definitely a great sports town as well. I want to stay just with the ownership for a moment. So with A-Rod and Mark Lowry finalizing to buy the Timberwolves, what does the future hold for Glenn Taylor? I know Glenn is also the owner of the Minnesota Lynx of the WNBA. Will he still have the ownership of the Lynx? And correct me if I'm wrong, he has an ownership stake in a newspaper called the Star Tribune. What will happen with Glenn going forward?
Yeah, I'm not sure that we know all the answers to that yet. He's apparently said that he's going to stay involved for roughly 2.5 years as the majority owner, and then after that, still maintain a minority stake in the Timberwolves and the Lynx. And so I think he's still going to be involved. I think he'll still be visible in the community. He is a Minnesota native and, you know, still lives in Mankato, which is roughly an hour and a half southwest of the Twin Cities. And he, you know, he has a presence. He was in politics in the state, you know, 25, 30 years ago before he owned the Timberwolves. As you mentioned, he owns the biggest paper in the newspaper in the Twin Cities. He's going to stay visible and stay involved. And he's Minnesota through and through. And I think that's part of the reason he's so confident that, or I think why Timberwolves fans should be confident that he's right. This team isn't moving, because Glenn's going to do everything in his power to make sure that doesn't happen. And I don't think he'd be selling the team to somebody who he felt like had any intention of moving the team anytime soon. So I think Glenn Taylor is going to stay involved. I mean, he's turning 80 or is about to turn 80. And so he's going to fade a little bit into the background, certainly, but his name and his presence isn't really going to go anywhere.
All right. And, you know, Ben, I want to ask you, the Target Center is the home of the NBA's Minnesota Timberwolves. Before COVID, can you describe to the listeners what was an atmosphere like watching an NBA game at the Target Center?
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, we're talking pre-COVID, if we're talking, you know, optimistic, you know, best case scenario, you know, like right after the D'Angelo Russell trade, which I guess was kind of right before COVID, it really electric. I mean, really, like you would expect in an NBA arena. Timberwolves fans are passionate and ready to cling on anything they can to see a winner. And so when something big happens, like the D'Lo trade or Kevin Garnett's return several years ago, or, you know, Towns in his rookie of the year campaign, you know, things like that, or Towns or the Jimmy Butler season, even that game 82, they had to beat the Nuggets to get the 8 seed and make the playoffs that year. Target Center
can be a madhouse. It can be a fantastic place to watch a game. Great sight lines in the building, and that lends itself to a good experience watching the game as well. And a passionate and really knowledgeable fan base. I mean, you know, with teams that have struggled to win, I mean, the fans that stick around through the good and the bad times, they're knowledgeable and they understand basketball and they understand the franchise and the history of the franchise and the ups and the downs and mostly downs in Timberwolves franchise history. And so they're there to relish the wins and understand how big everything is when it happens. And so that lends itself to a fantastic atmosphere. And I would definitely say that it's for people who haven't been there, it's probably underrated in that sense. And of course fans haven't had as much to cheer about, but even that 1 year with Jimmy Butler is a good example. I mean, the Timberwolves did well in attendance that year and it was packed at the end of the season. They had several sellouts down the stretch when Jimmy Butler came back and was healthy and they were making a push for the playoffs. And that's the type of, you know, as I mentioned earlier, a big media market, a great sports town that loves its Vikings, Twins, and Wild. You know, the atmosphere at Target Center can truly be, it really can be electric.
It looks electric. It looks electric watching it on television. We're looking at Timberwolves games over the years. You mentioned about Minnesota being, well, the Twin Cities being a great sports city, Ben. I got to ask you, we know that, you know, Minnesotans love hockey and they love football, but what about basketball? Do you think Minnesotans really love not just NBA, but just really basketball in general? Have they really warmed up to the sport of basketball?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can go all the way back to the Minneapolis Lakers, right, with George Mikan before the team moved to LA, and those teams were a juggernaut and you know, did well in the Twin Cities, and basketball through the years has only improved. I mean, you know, University of Minnesota hasn't had as much success. They've been one of the least successful programs in the Big Ten, but they made a Final Four in the 90s, and the support throughout the city was strong then. And obviously during the Kevin Garnett run, the Target Center was one of the best buildings in the league and was attendance wise and atmosphere wise. And now, you look at the health of high school basketball in the state, whether it's Chet Holmgren this year, the number one high school prospect who just committed to Gonzaga, or Jalen Suggs recently, or Tyus Jones and his brother, Trey Jones, and other top flight type recruits that have gone to major programs that have not stayed in state in Minnesota, or even the Wolves just played the Clippers. I mean, Daniel Aturu and Amir Coffey are both on the Clippers roster, and they're both recent. They're both Minneapolis natives, and they're both recent Golden Gopher alum or former players for the Gophers. And so the health of basketball in Minnesota is great. It's just the teams have not, the professional and the college teams, the top men's teams in the state. Now, the Minnesota Lynx have won 3 titles in recent years and have done great attendance-wise as well and have great support. So the men's teams haven't won. The teams across the board have drawn fans fairly well when they're even a little bit successful. So it's just a matter of what can the powers that be with each of those organizations do, and with the institutions, with the Gophers and with the Timberwolves, what can they do to be more successful consistently? Because the passion for basketball and the basketball acumen in the Twin Cities and in the state is certainly there. And there's obviously, you know, the state at large, there's the Dakotas and Iowa. They can draw fans from all those places as they do for other sports, as the Twin Cities do for other sports. If they can just find some level of success to keep fans, to draw fans in and then to keep them.
You know, you mentioned about passionate fans in the sport of basketball in Minnesota. A passionate sports fan that was from Minnesota was Prince. And Prince was known to have courtside seats at Timberwolves games, and he also supported the WNBA's Minnesota Lynx. Did you ever have an opportunity to see Prince or have an opportunity to see him at a few Timberwolves games?
You know, I don't know that I ever did. I certainly never interacted with him. I'm trying to remember. I don't know that I ever saw him in person at a game, but I know he was there for a while. He had a suite at the games. But certainly Kevin Garnett era, you know, mid to late 90s, I think, was when he was there the most. But, you know, certainly one of the more iconic names in Minnesota history, really, of any genre of the public eye, right? I mean, and he impact, it was involved, as you mentioned, he loved sports and obviously the music and entertainment industry. So, obviously one of the bigger names that a lot of people are running into, people who aren't from Minnesota, don't realize he's from Minnesota, but he's a name that everybody knows. And, you know, he was a key part of the Kevin Garnett era.
All right, and that's rest in peace to the purple one himself. Prince was definitely a diehard when he came, not just to the Timberwolves, but just Minnesota sports as well. And Ben, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Just tell everybody what you do, because you definitely have a lot on your plate. You are the host of the Locked On Wolves podcast, which is the podcast dedicated to covering the Minnesota Timberwolves. Just tell everybody what you do as the host of that podcast.
Yeah, Lockdown Wolves is a daily podcast Monday through Friday. We do post-game shows after the Timberwolves play on the weekends. It's part of the Lockdown Podcast Network, and the network has shows for every single major sports team and many of the Division I college programs. So be sure to subscribe. If you're a Timberwolves fan, obviously Lockdown Wolves, or even if you're not, please subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, daily shows. You can also follow any other teams that you support or follow for any sport. We've got a host dedicated to the team that you follow. And then I also write over at Dunking with Wolves, and I'm one of the site editors, and that's the Timberwolves site on the FanSided Network. So we've got multiple posts daily going up, obviously game reaction and previews and all that good stuff, but plenty of analysis and content throughout the season and off season, really year round. So you can find my writing as well as the writing of our other fantastic contributors there at DunkingWithWolves.com. And then on Twitter, my Twitter account is at BBeacon. It's BBeacon, two B's, two E's. C-K-E-N.
Awesome. And again, you heard it from him. He's Ben Beacon. Now, Ben, one more time, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as Locked On Wolves and Dunking with Wolves.
Sure. My Twitter account is at BBeacon. It's two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. And then Locked On Wolves is at Locked On T-Wolves. And then the Dunking with Wolves account is at Dunking Wolves FS.
You heard it from him. He is Ben Beacon, the host of the Locked On Wolves podcast and also site co-editor and writer of Dunking with Wolves. Check him out on those various websites and also check him out on the social media platforms as well. Got some great stuff, so check him out. Ben, thank you so much. And if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely, Ted.
You're welcome. We'll be back with more right after this.
Three by the Clippers. Jim, Los Angeles. They've been fantastic filling it up from downtown on the season, and we're going to get a chance for an and one here. Karl Anthony Towns back out of the floor and back into the scoring column. Jim, when the Clippers make 16 or more threes in a game, they're 20-3 on the season. As you get another look at Cat, his third bucket from the field tonight, first trip to the free throw.
For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr. and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr. and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr., and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCD Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCD Victory Fund, lcdvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr., and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCD Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCD Victory Fund, lcdvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr., and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCD Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCD Victory Fund, lcdvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
45 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr., and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCD Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCD Victory Fund, lcdvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr. and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
That's the sound of one of my favorite customers ever. His name's Jeremy. His dad, Frank, called me when it was time to replace their drafty old windows and to take advantage of our limited time sale. As a dedicated Pella advisor, I make getting new windows and doors simple. And when it comes to installation, nobody does it like Pella. Our local team can typically install in just a day.
Elevate the look of your home with specials from Pella Windows and Doors of Baton Rouge. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.
All right, everybody, once again, I'd like to send a big special thank you to Ben Beacon, the host of the Locked on Wolves podcast and also the co-owner and writer of Dunking with Wolves. Check out those two awesome media outlets. Locked on Wolves is the podcast dedicated to covering the Minnesota Timberwolves, and also Dunking with Wolves is a website dedicated to covering Minnesota Timberwolves. Great articles on that website. Check it out. That's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson, and remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
For too long, Louisiana has been used as a playground for polluters. The big out-of-state companies get rich, and we pay the price. In fact, in this part of Louisiana, we have cancer risk nearly double the rates of the rest of the country. So that's one more reason we need Karen Carter Peterson in Congress. Time and again, Karen Carter Peterson has stood up for the health and safety of Louisiana families. She's taken on the big corporate polluters, and she's fought to make sure we have clean drinking water in our schools. No wonder Karen Carter Peterson has been endorsed by Stacey Abrams and Gary Chambers Jr. and is supported by thousands of people from all across Louisiana. Because she'll deliver for women and working families, and Karen Carter Peterson has the record as a progressive leader who our community can trust. LCV Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising paid for by LCV Victory Fund, lcvvictoryfund.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Think you're busy? You've never met Jessica, mother of six. I'm the dedicated Pella window and door advisor Jessica called when she knew it was time to replace her drafty old windows and take advantage of the limited time sale. We make the process simple. From product selection through installation, we've sold over 5 million replacement windows and doors, so we know a thing or two.
Elevate the look of your home with specials from Pella Windows and Doors of Baton Rouge. Visit BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore to learn more. That's BatonRougeWindowSales.com/explore.